We're doing the book of Micha. We're up to what's called the second chapter, the fourth pasuk. The Navi had said, because people were stealing from one another, because there was such great moral decline in the land of Israel, people were constantly plotting how to steal from one another. So Hashem says, we saw last week, Lachem, therefore Hashem says, Hineni choshev al ha-mishpacha hazot ra'a. I'm going to think about this family, meaning the people of Israel, what harm should come upon them, and that they won't be able to get out of it. Bad time will settle in on the people of Israel. Pasuk Dalet. Bayomahu yisa aleichem mashal v'naha nihiniya amar shadod nishadunu chelek ami yamir. On that day, bayomahu yisa aleichem mashal, if someone will want to say a parable about you, he will say the following parable, and he will say v'naha, and he will give a whale, nehi nihiya, and his whale will be, this is the following whale, amal shadod nishadunu, he will say, we have been plundered. Nehiniya, you see the play on words? Vinaha, and he will give the following wail. Nehi nihiya. A wailing has happened. The word nihiya really means has happened. Naha means he will wail, he will eulogize. Nehi, a wailing, nihiya has happened. We saw that Micha keeps playing with words, words that are similar. Throughout the prophets did that. Their poetic form. So vinaha nehini ya amar shadod nishadunu. He will say in his way, look at how we have been plundered. Chelek ami yamil. Perhaps that's part of the beauty. Maybe yeah. It's part of the skill. Maybe it's part of what happens when one gets prophecy. It seems, though, that it was dependent on the prophet himself. Poetry is nice. So the prophet is saying God's word. So it's fitting that he should say it in a nice form. But Chazal tell us that when a prophet received prophecy, he saw a vision. And together with the vision, he was given an insight, an understanding as to what that vision represented. So he knew what message he was supposed to give. Now, the choice of words in that, every prophet other than Moshe Rabbeinu, in the choice of words, every prophet had a certain choice to choose. How is he going to give the message over? That's why Chazal say, even though many prophets can see the same vision, no two prophets are going to say the same prophecy. Because the words of the prophetic vision, well, that's each prophet's his own responsibility. And there, we do have an impact as to who he is going to impact how he words it. And being that two people are not identical, so no two people are going to give the same prophecy. That's how they knew at one point. There were hundreds of prophets saying the exact same line. And they called him the prophet of God, and the prophet said, "You're all liars." So they asked him, "How do you know?" He said, "Because the tradition I have is two prophets can see the same vision, but no two prophets will say the same words." So, en shnei nevi'im mitnabim b'signon echad. They won't use the same words. Other than Moshe Rabbeinu, every prophet had a reflection of himself in the words, and that's why. Every prophecy other than Moshe Rabbeinu, we say that you have to understand. When you read the prophecy, so you have to get the message. If you just read the words, it's not clear that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of learning Torah. Because the words are given from a prophet, but they're a reflection of him. Whereas Torah, we say Moshe Rabbeinu was like a funnel. The Shekhinah spoke through his throat. The words, every word is the word of God. But that's only Moshe, not the other prophets. The other prophets were not on that level. Chelek ami yamir. So he's going to say, the portion of my nation has been exchanged. And the question is, what's he referring to? One understanding is simply there are going to be new owners over our assets. The other understanding is that there's going to be an exchange of ownership of the nation. So to speak, until now, God was watching over us, and he's going to exchange, he's going to give us into the hands of the enemies. Chelek Ami, the portion of my nation, meaning who's Chelek Am Yisrael? Hashem's portion is God. Am Yisrael's portion is Hashem. We say we are Hashem's portion and Hashem is our portion, right? So Chelek Ami Amir, according to one understanding, is, so to speak, the inheritance of my nation, which is their connection to God, will be exchanged. Hashem will say, okay, you guys didn't want to go my route, so fine, I'll put you under the rulership of the nations. You'll be subservient to them. Eich yamish li l'shovev sadeinu yichalek. He's going to say, how will it ever come back? Eich yamish li. How will he remove it from me? L'shovev sadeinu yichalek. Will it ever be possible to return the fields that are now being divided among the nations? Eich yamish li, how will he move it back for me? Right now, meaning the Nabi is viewing the period where it's taken from us, and the nation is going to wonder for themselves. They're going to say, we're being plundered. How can this ever be undone? When they see how everything's being taken by the other nations, they'll ask themselves, will I ever get this back? Is there any hope in the future that we'll return to the land of Israel and get it back? Ech yamishli, how will God ever be able to remove it from them and give it back to me? L'shovev sadeinu, to give us back our fields, yechalek, that the enemy is dividing right now. So the Navi is saying there's going to be destruction. There's going to be he who wants to give a parable over the destruction will say, look at how we've been plundered. The nation has been given into the hands of the pagans, and how can this ever be undone? Lachen lo yiyeh lecha mashlich chevel begoral. Being that this is the way you've been behaving, the Navi says, being that you've been plundering, you've been stealing from the poor, you've been taking people's money and their homes, because of that, Hashem says, lachen lo yiyeh lecha, you will not have mashlich chevel begoral, none of your own seed, none of your children will divide up your land, will have the land of Israel as an inheritance. Ordinarily, when you divide up land, so the way they'd measure it is they'd measure it with ropes. So the Navi says, lo yelecha, you won't have mashlich chevel begoral, someone who measures out the field after lots. They draw lots between the inheritors. The children would draw lots among themselves. They'd measure up the fields to equal portions, and this was a way of ensuring that everything was fair, because no one knew which lot he would get. So together they'd measure out the portions, and then they'd draw lots. So the Navi says, because you took other people's fields, because your wealth is really not your own, because you've been plundering and stealing from the poor, because of that, lo yelecha, you won't have mashlich chevel begoral, he who extends the rope to measure the field in lottery of inheritance. Bikal Hashem, in the congregation of Hashem, your children won't be here in the congregation of Hashem, they'll be exiled and they won't have this land. Al tatifu yatifun, they tell the prophets, don't you guys keep teaching us. We don't want to hear your teachings. Don't give us your prophecies. Lo yatifu la'ele, lo yisag kelimot. And so Hashem says, okay, so they won't prophesize to these people, and they won't be shamed, because the people would constantly embarrass them. They'd make fun of the prophets on the most crass level. One prophet had a stutter, so everyone would make fun of his stutter. They, you know, not even on a high level. They'd just make fun of them on a low level. He'amu Beit Yaakov ha'katzar ruach Adonai imei lemal alav. He'amur is a questioning. Will the house of Jacob be able to say, He'amur Beit Yaakov, will they be able to say? And even if they say it, is it the truth? Obviously not. That katzar ruach Hashem, that God's desire, so to speak, is held short, that he can't do what he wants. He'amur Beit Yaakov, will the house of Jacob be able to say, is it really true to say, HaKatzar Ruach Hashem, has God's strength, has his desire been limited, is it shortened? Im Eilem Alalav, and is this God's way of doing things, that he harms his own creatures? Halod Vara Yetivu Im Hayashar Holech. Hashem says, you can't say that about me. I do good, but I do good with those that go an honest path. So the prophets keep saying things are going to go bad. And the people say, what do you mean? You're a believer in God, they tell the prophet. God could do good. Why are you telling us God's going to bring destruction to the land of Israel? What, is God suddenly limited? He can't make things good for us. So the Navi says, that's not the point. God could make it good, but he makes it good for those who deserve it. You understand the play, the game over here. The Navi keeps telling them, you can't be so sinful and there's going to be destruction if you will be. The people ignore the part of the sin and they say, what do you mean? God's always been so good and kind to us. You're a believer in God. Is God suddenly limited? Do you really think God can't make it good for us for another century? And then the Navi is saying, of course God could, but that's not the point.
Ve'etmul ani le'oyev yekomem mimul salma eder tafshitun.
The Navi says, but etmul over here is like etmul. That's one understanding here. Another understanding is that etmul is like mul, opposite. Ami le'oyev yekomim. Not many days will pass. It's almost like it was yesterday. And therefore, you won't be able to deny it. Hashem says, the truth is that Ami le'oyev yekomim. My nation arises one upon the other like they're enemies with one another. You guys don't live in peace with one another. You're not living the way the Navi said in the previous Pasuk, Hayashar Holech, living honest lives with one another, but rather you are Oyev Yekomim, you're like an enemy rising on one another. Each one's just eyeing the other, how can I make more money off him? How can I cheat him? How can I take what he has? Mimul Salma, opposite the clothing. When you see someone wearing nice clothing, so you stand there and you think, how can I rip him off? How can I get it off of him? Eder tafshitun. Eder is like a wealthy garment. Tafshitun, you strip him of it. Meyovrim betach shuvei milchama. When people are walking peacefully through your territory, you make them suddenly defend themselves, and then it's like they're always coming back from war. Shuvei milchama. Meyovrim betach, from the people who walk by you and they're confident that everything's in peace. And you turn it into shuvei milchama, that it's as though they're coming back from battle because they have to fend for themselves because there's so much thievery going on. When a person's running from war, so then in order to be able to run more quickly, they usually drop whatever's hindering them, whatever's going to weigh them down. So if a person has a nice garment and now, someone else is trying to get it from him, he might just drop it and run to ensure that the guy doesn't kill him. The Navi says that the people were stealing from one another, even on the level of a garment. You know, they saw a nice garment, so the guy knew he had to. One minute he was Ovrim Betach, he was walking in peace, and the next minute he was Shuvei Milchama, he was like a guy running from war, where he figures he better drop it and then run for his life. Nishei amit garishun mibeit tanugeha. They used to have houses where the women would have their peace and tranquility, and the Navi says, you kick them out of those homes, either by stealing those homes, or because they murder their husbands, or because they take their husbands' wealth away, and then the husbands wouldn't be able to fund the homes that they had until then. Tikhu adari le'olam. Me'alo lalea, from upon her babies. A baby is called an olel. Olel means the filthy one. So once upon a time, they didn't have disposable diapers. So a baby was always filthy. You know, the kids would sit and play in the mud. They didn't have the floors, the tiling that we have. So a kid was always in the dirt. And a kid was always with dirty diapers. So they called the baby an olel, the filthy one. That's what the word olel really means. Me'al olalea, you take from upon her babies, tikhu hadari le'olam. You take the glory, the wealth that I gave them, you take it forever. If you kill the woman's husband, so then even if he left her a certain amount of wealth, it's going to dwindle because she's taking care of the kids. And how is she going to manage afterwards? So, Neshe amiti garishun mi beit tanugeha, you take my women away from the women of my nation, from their pleasantries, the pleasantries of married life. Me'alo lelea tikhu adari l'olam, from upon her babies, you take the glory that I've granted her forever. You're never going to be able to give it back. A woman who gets married a second time, a second marriage is never like a first marriage. As good as it can be, it's not a first marriage. So Hashem says, you've taken the glory that I've given the women for eternity. Chazal give us an interesting explanation on this pasuk. Chazal say, what does it mean? Neshei amite garashun mi beta nugea. You chase my women out of their house of pleasure. So Chazal say, this is a reference to a situation where a couple is during the part of the month that they're prohibited. The woman is within her cycle. She hasn't yet gone to mikveh after her cycle. So the couple is prohibited. So the halacha says during that period, they're not allowed to touch, and they sleep on separate beds. The beds are separate. So let's say a couple is during that period, and in the time of the temple, in the time where we had purity, so everyone knew when a woman was pure or defiled. It wasn't something that was kept under wraps, because everyone had to know. It was relevant to, you know, everything she touched was tamei. So the women had their section of the house where they took care of the kids, and when they'd go to mikveh, they take the kids with them to mikveh, and they take the bed with them to mikveh. It was like a part of life. That was part of society. So let's say a guy comes to town, and he needs a place to sleep. And this couple, they can't be intimate tonight anyways. You know, they're prohibited. They're sleeping on separate beds. So this guy comes in and says, could I stay by you? And he has other options of where to stay. And if he stays by them, the only place he's going to be able to sleep is in the bedroom, the parents' bedroom. So Chazal say, even though sometimes a guy could figure to himself, I'm not preventing them from any intimacy because it's very obvious that nothing's going to happen here anyways. Nonetheless, Chazal say that about this type of person, the Navi says, Neshe amite garshun mi beit tanugeha. You chase my women out of their house of pleasure. Chazal say, what is the house of pleasure? That's the pleasure that a woman has at night, even when the couple can't touch, even when they're on separate beds. But the fact that they could have intimate conversation, the fact that she has her husband to herself, and they could talk at night, and no one else is there, that's called Beit Tanugeha, her house of pleasures. And the person has to have the sensitivity to know that he better find himself an alternative and not put himself in a situation where he prevents the couple from being able to talk intimately. And Chazal cursed the person who does not have that sensitivity. They said that's what this pasuk is talking about. And this can be applied also in other scenarios, but it's a message for us as well. Very often people think that religious people, they don't know how to be intimate, they don't know how to have passion. It's not true. The exact opposite is true. Only that all of that we keep under wraps. All of the closeness that a couple has, Chazal gave us instructions down to the time when a couple is prohibited. But Chazal said, even then you have to be sensitive to the conversation that the couple is supposed to be having when they're alone. And the only thing is, people are misled because they don't see it. Yeah, right, we're modest about it. No one has to see it. It's no one's business. It's because we treasure it, so we keep it under wraps. Pasuk Yud. Kumu. Yeah.
This is a few ways for hitchhikers. The problem with hitchhiking. My friend who lives on a settlement, he tells me, you know, okay, he's traveling an hour to Yerushalayim, and so he has time to speak to his wife. And then people tramping on the road, and they want to get in the car. All of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, but they couldn't know that.
Help this guy on the road, you know, try to get to Yerushalayim, or even to the
Yeah, so I didn't want to bring that up. The it's discussed whether this is applicable on a bus. Meaning sometimes you come on a bus and you see a couple sitting together talking. And you know the husband. So you could go over there and strike up a conversation with him. But really his wife is having time to talk to him. The question is, did Chazal mean specifically at nights when there's no one else around? So then they can have a conversation that they can't have on a bus. Or do we apply it to all times that a couple has time to talk? In general, though, it's a sensitivity. It's a sensitivity one should have, and I don't think one is in error by applying it on a bus as well. Whether we could say that's exactly what Chazal meant or not, that's a different question, but it's still a correct sensitivity. But the hitchhiker, I don't think it's his fault. You know, what does he know? He's just standing out there with his finger out.
Is the hitchhiker's fault?
I don't think so. No, how could he know? Yeah.
Should he pick him up or not?
It's very tough. Then the whole way you feel selfish. Yeah.
You feel selfish when you're able to point the conversation.
So what's the problem sometimes, I think it's an impression, sometimes the person picks up the drink and the husband and wife, they keep the conversation. And sometimes might be things that you don't want to miss. And so, it's all kind of like what they do, like,
What I try to do, and this is because there's a lot of things that I don't want to hear during the day. I take a bus every day. I take headphones every day. This is why I started listening a little bit to the radio. I record music because I can't. If I want to learn a sefer, I can't have a shiur playing in the background and learn from the sefer. So I went on you have all these Jewish channels where you have nice Jewish music, and I recorded on the MP3 player like 20 minutes worth of Jewish music, and then I could play it while I'm learning, and then I don't hear what's going on around me. I take a bus every day. Sometimes there's a radio blaring. Sometimes there are a bunch of people talking loudly next to me, and I can't concentrate. So that's what I do. So the Navi says, because of this behavior, Hashem says, Kumu ulchu kilozot hamenucha. Hashem says, get up and leave. Hashem says, go, walk out in exile, walk to the diaspora. Kilozot hamenucha, because this isn't the idea of tranquility that I wanted to give you in the land of Israel. I wanted to give you tranquility to serve me. I didn't want to give you tranquility so you could plunder anyone who has something that you want to steal. This wasn't the idea of giving you tranquility in the land of Israel. Hashem says, because you defiled the land with actions like these, that's why techabel, the land will destroy you, as the Torah tells us that the land of Israel is repulsed by certain behavior. The Torah describes that the land of Israel spit out the nations that were here. Nachmanides writes that Sodom and Amorah overturned because it was like the land of Israel was repulsed by the people's behavior. At some point, they couldn't handle it. Ramban says, if it would have been in Chutz La'aretz, Sodom and Amorah wouldn't have been overturned. The only reason they were overturned is because Israel can't handle this type of sin. out of Israel, okay, the other lands can handle it. So the Navi says, Ba'avu Toma, because you defiled it, Techabel, the land itself will harm you, will destroy you, and you'll be destroyed in it. Vechevel Nimratz, and the destruction is going to be very powerful. There's not going to be anything left. Hashem says, the land won't handle it. Okay, we'll pick up here Be'ezrat Hashem next week.